Good morning or good afternoon. I guess it's almost 11 now. I will be before you today. I will be coming out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. You will pray with me. Father God, we thank you so much for this day, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for all that you do in our lives, Lord God. We thank you for all that you are in our lives, Lord God. Father, I just ask that you use me, Lord, right now to come before your people, those that are here and those that will hear my voice, and speak to them, dear Jesus. Change their lives, Lord God. Give them a prayerful life, Lord God, which will help them change their life, Lord. I thank you and I praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. I'll be reading out of Colossians. I just like to give a little bit of just feedback. This is a book that has not been disputed that it is written by the Apostle Paul. And this is when he was in house arrest. And so he's writing to the Colossians church and he is addressing issues on some heresy that's going on. And so I just want to talk about prayer. So it starts, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. And I apologize, I went a little bit further to 6 because I wanted to add a little bit more. But I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer. And so in that verse that we first read, to devote yourselves, I looked up devotion and what it talked about. And it talked about to commit to something, to commit to an act, to give over and to direct an act. And so when I think about that devotion, that means that we are taking something and we are devoting ourselves. We are going to make sure that it is a part of our life. It is not a once in a while. It is not a when I'm having a bad time or when something's going on in my life, I need to pray. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, which means that you want to have it. It needs to be a lifestyle. It needs to be something that we are doing constantly. So devoting yourself to prayer is a daily, constant thing. It says to keep alert, to stay alert. That means that we want to be very vigilant. We want to be very aware of what's going on. When we're talking about keeping ourselves in prayer and being devoted in prayer and keeping alert and having giving an attitude of thanksgiving, all of those things are going to help us have a better prayer life. And as the church, we need to have a prayer life. We need to be praying so that we can help those who are not in church. But the only way that we can do that is by having a devoted prayer life. We need to be spiritually alert. When it says in verse 2, it says, devote yourself to prayer and being watchful and thankful. Watchful is talking about being alert, spiritually alert, because there are things that are going on in our world that are spiritual. Not everything that you see is man-made. A lot of things that you're seeing is a spiritual attack, and you need to have your spiritual eyes on. And the way that you have your spiritual eyes on is by being in prayer. So you need to be spiritually alert, watchful. Watchful, when I looked up that word, it talked about being prompted to meet change and to be to watch and to be ready for something that may be changing or something that may be an emergency, or carefully observant or an attentive. So all of those things are us being watchful. We're watching for things. We're attentive. We're waiting for maybe a change or something to happen. And that is what Paul is talking about when you're talking about being prayerful and being alert and being dedicated. Those are the things when he's talking about in that verse 2. And so I want us to just challenge ourselves to really make sure that when we're thinking about prayer, that we're thinking about those three things, because those things help us being watchful and being thankful. We all know that a thankful heart, God loves a thankful heart. He wants us to be thankful for the things that he is doing for us. But if we are stuck in ourselves, and when we're always praying about ourselves and we're not thinking outward, we get stuck in the me instead of the world. And God wants us to be about the world. And so making sure that we stay thankful for what he's done for us helps us to remember that what we have, someone else may need. And we want to share those thankfulness with other people. Verse 3, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains for. That, I think, is an important thing, because I think sometimes when we think about prayer, we tend to focus on ourselves and it's about what's happening in our lives. But I want to talk about, how are you praying for the church? And not just Shalom Hill, but the church in general, because the church is a broad term. The church is every church that is following Jesus Christ, that is a Bible believing church. That's the church that I'm talking about. And we should be praying for the church. I love that Pastor Michael comes up and he talks about our global missions and the global prayer, because we are praying not just for Shalom Hill, but we are always praying for other Christians, other churches that need prayer. And so he asks, he says, make sure that you pray for us as well, that God will open up a door for the word, so that the word will be spread. The mystery of Christ, the mystery of Christ is the gospel, that Jesus came to this earth and he died on the cross for everyone's sin. And if we're not spreading that gospel, if we're not allowing that message to go out there, all of those people that are in sin and feel like there's no hope. Let's talk about that no hope. There are so many people in this world right now that feel hopeless. There is things going on in this world. There are money issues. There are deaths. There are anxieties, and there are mental health issues. There are so many things that are going on in this world. People are feeling hopeless. And that's where we come in, and we're praying for that people will understand the mystery of God, that Jesus Christ came to this world to save us all, not just a small group of us, but he wants to see us all living for him. And so when Paul says, pray for us that the mystery of Christ be known, that we can talk it clearly so that they understand clearly what we are teaching. Because sometimes you have people coming in and telling you one thing that's not a part of the Bible. And that's why it's important that we stay in our word, that we know what we're reading, so that we don't get astray to something that's a little bit off. So Paul says, pray that the mystery of Christ be revealed as we are teaching. It is important that you do that today. It's not just back in Paul's time. It's not just back in the first church. This is now. You should be praying for your pastor. You should be praying that the leaders of the churches, that they can go out and they can minister, and that they can bring the word of God to the community, to the world, because the world needs to know that there is hope, that there is love, that there is someone out there that is there to be there for them. There are people who are feeling lonely and feeling left out. Jesus Christ died for all of those people. But if we're not out there spreading that word, if we're getting attacked and if we're getting stopped by the enemy because we're not praying, that becomes a problem. So make sure that you're praying. Paul says, pray for us. So I ask you to pray for Pastor and I. Pray for the leaders of other churches, pray for all the leaders, that we hear from God and know what direction to go, because God is going to direct us to go the direction that we need to go. And then verse 4, it says, to make sure that it is clear that I ought to speak. Clear. We need to hear from the Lord. The only way that you hear from the Lord is by praying. The only way you hear from the Lord is by praying. And I want to add to that is that I was talking with someone who was going through some things, and they wanted to hear from the Lord, but they hadn't spent a lot of time in prayer. You want to start praying before you have something going on in your life. Because when you have something going on in your life and you're praying and you haven't done it before, you might have a hard time to hear his voice. The more that you pray, the more that you read, the more that you are connected to God, the more that that relationship is solid and connected, the more that you will hear his voice, the more that you will understand what he is saying to you, the more that when someone speaks to you, you will say, yeah, that is from God. Or you will say, that wasn't of God. But the only way that can happen is by you being devoted. As we talked about that word earlier, being devoted, being connected, being devoted and making sure that it is a habit. A habit is something that you do constantly. It's not something that you do every once in a while. A habit is something that you want to do constantly. So you want to be in constant prayer so that you understand that when God is speaking to you, you know that that is God speaking to you. Verse 5, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most opportunity. I think about that, and I thought that's interesting that he had that in there when he was talking about prayer. But then I think about that, and I think that sometimes when we are not thinking about how our behaviors are, we are not always showing Christ-like behaviors. And so we want to make sure that we're always praying and always in tune with God, because he's going to direct us on how to behave, how to speak, when to speak, who to speak to. All of those things are important. I recently talked with a good friend, and she was saying how God directs her all the time in every little situation in her life, but it's because she has this devout prayer life. She spends a lot of time in prayer, just seeking God, so that everything that she does, it lines up with what God wants her to do. And so I call you to just really make sure that you really focus in on your prayer life, because it will help you to conduct your behaviors the way that God wants you to. Because people are watching us. People are watching us. People watch the church. That's why they say, oh, I'm not going to go to that church because there's hypocrites there. They do this, but they say this thing. But if we're being watchful and we're being devoted to prayer and we're thinking about what we're doing, our behaviors should line up. We should know when to speak and when not to speak. When we're in the flesh, because we're human, so we make mistakes. But that's why we have to rely on prayer and God to let us know when we speak. Because sometimes if we're in our flesh, God's like, you're not there yet. Don't speak. Keep it to yourself, because right now you're not at a point where you're going to speak love the way I want you to. And sometimes he gives us a chance to say some things that people may not want to hear, but it's how we say it. So it says to verse 5, it says to be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders and make most of every opportunity. Every opportunity is a chance to bring someone to knowledge of Christ. So every opportunity, when I get up in the morning, I ask God, okay, God, here we go. Here's another day. Be with me, God. Direct me, God. Show me what it is, God, that I need to do, God. Put those people in my paths that I need to speak to, or who need to speak to me. There was a situation on Friday, and I got up and I talked to God and I said, God, it's Black Friday and I got to go to work, and I work in retail. And I give me peace, give me the strength to go through, to deal with the customers and to be the person that I need to be, to relate to them and to not get into my flesh, to be pleasant. So I prayed about work, but on the way to work, I realized that I had a flat and my husband was gone and I'm new to all this car stuff. And so I took it upon myself to try to figure out how to do it. And I was pretty sure that it was just a slow leak. So I drove to the gas pump. The first gas pump was broken. I drove to the second gas pump. And I pulled in and a lady there said, oh, that's the flat tire. You just need to go get it fixed. And I stood there feeling kind of dejected because I didn't know what to do. And I knew that I had to get to work, but I had to do some other things before I got to work. And I didn't really know what to do. And then this gentleman came up to me and he says, that might not be a flat tire. That might just be a slow leak. And as we started to conversate, I realized that I knew him, and he was someone that had his son played basketball with my son, and he knew my husband, and he was a fellow believer. So we started talking, and it ended up that he had a little air pump in his car, because that pump that we were at was also broken. And he filled up my tire. I was able to go on to work. But I thought, God, you ordained that. You made that meeting come together so that I could figure out what I needed to do, because I didn't quite know what to do. And my husband wasn't there to help me because he was already on his way somewhere else. But I thought, I stopped for a moment and just said, God, direct our paths. I didn't know that he was going to help me at that situation. But I do know that because I stopped and said, God, help me this day, that he did. And I was thankful for that. So I think that thinking about those times and when you're getting up and praying, that God will give you opportunities. And he was asking about how the church was going. So I got a chance to talk to him about the church. And so I think God gives us those moments when we need them, someone to help us, someone to share news with. There's always those moments, but it's opportunity that happens when we're following God. In verse 6, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Seasoned with salt, grace. We need grace. We need grace. But grace is not something that you earn. It is not something that you deserve. It is something that is given to you. God gives us grace. We don't deserve it. There's nothing that we can do to earn it, but we all need it. So because God gives us that grace, he's asking us to give grace to other people. He's not telling us to approve of sin. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying approve of sin, but he's saying to give people grace, to love them. And so as we're thinking about just dealing with people and praying and having a prayerful attitude, thinking about grace and asking God, how can we show grace to people who we are trying to help? Because it's important that we show grace. I think about grace, and I think about when they talk about the salt and season with a little bit of salt. Salt is kind of gives flavor to our food. And so we think about how we love to put a little bit of salt in our food to give it a little bit of flavor. God, I think Paul is saying, you know, make sure your conversation is seasoned with a little bit of that, so it's got a little bit of flavor. It's something that draws people to you, not draw away from you. So praying and asking God, help me have a little bit of that salt, a little bit of that grace to draw people to me, to draw people to that conversation that we can have, that I can help them move away from things that they shouldn't be a part of, or move towards things that they need to be a part of things, but making sure that we use grace when we're dealing with people. And remember, grace is not earned. Grace is not something that no one deserves. So please don't think that someone's supposed to deserve it, because there is nothing that we have deserved that God has given us. And so we are given what God has given to us. And the only way that we can give what God has given to us is if we've received it. So please remember, no one deserves or should get grace. It's because we give it, because God gave it to us. So what does this mean for us now, the church? The whole church. Shalom Hill Church. We need to be prayerful people. It is time for the church to be about prayer. We hear about revivals and we want a revival. People talk about, I want a revival. Do you know how those revivals start? They start in prayer. They start with us connecting with our Father. If you want to see things move in this world, we have got to pray. We have to pray for our pastors. We have to pray for our leaders, the leaders in the church and the leaders in the world. I don't care if you don't like them. God says, pray for your enemies. And I have to be honest and say, most of them that you dislike are not your enemy. You just dislike them. But God says to pray for them. It may be easy to pray for your pastors because you like them. It may be easy to pray for your leaders because you like them. But prayer is not always supposed to be easy. So you may have to do a prayer that you don't want to do. You may have to be like Jonah and do something you don't want to do because you know God is going to move. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew that God's power, he knew what God could do. And he didn't want to see that happen. You may have to do what you don't want to do. You may have to pray for that person that you don't want to pray for. You may have to pray for that leader that you don't want to pray for. But God is calling us to be a prayerful church, because that's how this world is going to move in the direction that it needs to go. We need hope out there. And the way that we're going to get hope is through prayer. We also need to pray for the gospel message, the mystery of Christ. We tend to pray about problems. We tend to pray about what's going on in our personal life. And sometimes we might even pray about someone else's problems. But do we pray for the gospel message? Do we pray that the message is spread throughout the world, that people who need to hear it are hearing it? Because we need to pray for the gospel message. We need to pray for the message to move into lives and lives be changed. Lives can't change without prayer. I don't think there's anyone in this room or anyone that hears my voice had a life change without someone praying for them. I know my life wasn't changed without prayer. So we need to make sure that we are praying that the gospel message moves and changes lives, that people are receiving the gospel message, and that it is changing lives, because that is when revival starts. People's lives are changing and they're excited about what's happening in their life, and they're spreading and they're going around and they're telling people about it. That's what starts a revival. But it first started with someone praying, and it started with someone praying about the gospel message being spread. You can start a revival right here in this home church, but it's going to start with prayer. And it's going to be prayer about the gospel message, because everyone needs it. There's not a person that doesn't need to know that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and he died on the cross for us, and that we all have access to him. And as we're thinking about praying and we're thinking about the gospel message, remember to have a thankful life. Remember to go back. I know they talk about doing prayer journals, and I haven't quite done one, but I know a lot of people who have. And it's nice to go back and think about what God has already done for us and be thankful for those things. Because when you get into a hard time and you look back at the things that he's already done, it helps you remember that he was there during that hard time. He will be there during the next hard time, and that you can move forward. So live with a thankful life. Be thankful for everything that God has done for you. And then remember that your behaviors need to show Christ. Everything that we do should be shown that it is Christ-like. We need to love like Christ. We need to give grace like Christ. But none of that can happen if we're not praying. Everything that we need to do in our life is going to start with prayer. So I want to challenge you. How is your prayer life, and where does it need to go? How are you praying for the church? Not just yourself, but how are you praying for the church? How are you praying for your leaders? How are you praying for the pastors? And a lot of us know more than just our home pastor, but the pastors that you know at other churches, all of them need prayer. I'm going to challenge you to pray for the church, to pray for the leaders, to pray for your pastors, to pray for the church. And let's see what God does.